This episode's a little weird. Prepare yourself. Got asked by a professor from a PT school in Canada, Daryl Yardley. Asked me if I wouldn't mind Skyping in and talking to his students a little bit about my story, how I came to PT, and what I did once I got here. Then we take some Q&A. PT Pintcast powered by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs and other medical professionals seeking certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it. OwensRecoveryScience.com.
The best conversations happen at happy hour.
Come on.
Welcome to ours. This is the PT Pintcast.
Gotta go hard or go home.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, so there might be a couple that will come in here, Jimmy, but I've given them a little bit of info about you, but what would be really interesting is giving them an idea of your story and how you actually landed upon how you decided to actually have the PT designation as opposed to being that frontline clinician.
Yeah.
You know, how did you talk to different people to sort of steer you in that direction where you were the most skilled? But first, I guess before we let you chat, this is the second year class at Western, so in London. They will graduate this year and they will be working in about 6 to 8 months. So as
wow.
You guys are, they're done.
The light at the end of a tunnel. I like that. Just
yeah.
Gotta be careful. Sometimes the light at the end of a tunnel is a train. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I will let you give yourself an introduction and then let us hear your story.
Yeah. So I'm a little bit abnormal is that I started as a radio broadcaster. All I wanted to do from age 10 until, man, I did it at age 21 was just be on the radio. As you can tell, I'm not real shy. And then I did it. I got my bachelor's degree in journalism and mass communication. I worked for a guy by the name of Howard Stern here in New York City. That's all I wanted to do. And I got to run my own radio station for about 7 or 8 years. And like, I go to work in cargo shorts and a Guns N' Roses t-shirt and interview rock stars. I had it made. And then one day I just woke up and I just wasn't getting what I wanted out of it anymore. But I just kind of fell out of love. I started kind of looking around, really started to panic, to be honest with you. I mean, I was like 31 or something like that at the time. And now, I've got to pivot. And I just happened to be training for a triathlon with a bunch of guys who are physios. And we go on long bike rides and they thought I had the coolest job in the world because I used to get them backstage passes and, you know, free beer. But I thought they had the coolest job in the world because they just tell me about, you know, what they did for a living. And I don't know, it resonated with me. So I pulled one of them aside. And I just said, you know, what do I need to do to be you? What do I need to do to be a PT? And he kind of laid it out for me. And he was kind of cool about it. He was just like, he wasn't sugarcoating. He was like, it's going to be a pain in the ass, man. You're going to have to go at that point, I had to take like 9 or 10 prereqs all while I was working full time. I mean, I think he was trying to weed me out. He was trying to make sure I didn't get through 2 or 3 classes, sink a couple grand into it and then bail. But I kept going. And a couple years later, wound up in PT school and dug it. I mean, where I was sitting where you guys were just, you know, two and a half years ago, and I liked it. The studying for test part I could have done without. But halfway through, I was at a conference and I was listening to some guy on stage talk about how to train tactical athletes. He was training battalions and divisions of U.S. Army troops. And I was digging everything he was saying. The vibe was cool, but I was like I was a second year student. So a lot of the stuff was just going right over my head. I was like, I'll have to Google that later. That sounds cool, but I don't know what that means. Okay. And then I caught up with him later on at the happy hour, the networking event. And I was like, you know what, man, I paid $200. I'm going to get my money's worth. And I just marched up to him and I said, I'm Jimmy and I'm a second year student. I dig what you're saying, but I didn't understand it, most of it. So he wasn't insulted, which is good, but he was nice enough to kind of just chill there with me and explained his entire presentation in like half the time in words that were, you know, this big and not this big. And I understood every single word of it. And then halfway through, it's that like kismet moment where I'm like, oh, I learn better this way. This is how I learn. But that shouldn't have been a shock for me, right? I mean, I should have been smart enough to go, you interviewed people for a living. That's how you got information out of people. So I wound up just launching a podcast. I told a crazy idea to a professor of mine, and kudos to crazy professors who were like, yeah, just to their students, just, I don't know, give that idea a try, throw it against the wall, see if it sticks. And my professor, Sky Donovan, was like, not only will I help you with this, but I will buy you the beer for the first couple episodes, like whatever you need. So that's a supportive professor. You know, we got something like 10,000 downloads the first month and it's been going. And as of like this month, I think we'll hit our 1,000,000th download, which is kind of cool if you think about it. Cause like, you know, it's 99.9% physios from around the world and like 0.1% my mom who actually download the show, which is nice to have a supporter. I graduated. and then practiced pediatrics and sports. Liked it a lot, right? I mean, this is my profession, but I never had that, this is what I want to do every single day for the rest of my life, but I still wanted to stay in the profession. I wasn't scared of leaving the industry. I realized that while I was sitting there with, you know, little kids making obstacle courses and shooting Nerf guns at them, that I wanted to keep talking to people and bringing new ideas in. It's not that I was bored with little kids, because you can't be bored with little kids. It's that I had this other thing that I also like to do and wanted to bring it to PT. So I found a company. I gave this sentiment at a talk for students not long ago. I wrote a job description and just said, these are the 8 things that Jimmy likes to do and thinks he does well. And at the bottom, it just said, do you need a Jimmy? And I got an email back like a week later, and they said, when can we meet? And I said, whenever. And we met over beers, shockingly. And halfway through the first beer, he said, when can you start? And I said, right now. So my job right now, as kind of Daryl alluded to, was I'm not practicing right now. So there's like this internal debate in Jimmy's head, like, does that mean I'm still a PT? You know, because what I do is I write articles, interview people with podcasts, I do university relations events. So am I still touching people if I never actually lay hands on them, right? There's that dual meaning of the word touch. Like, you know, does Daryl not touch people if he teaches you and then you go do something? I think he does. So I still have that internal kind of dialogue too, which is like, am I a PT or not? But anyway, my role is, I don't know, you ever read an article, it's supposed to be about PT, and then you see like this like BS stock image that you're like, that's a stock image. There's no chance a PT would ever stand like that or do that. My job is to make sure that never happens. So I either write it or I'm the last person who sees it to make sure it's still PT legit. And then I travel around, like how I, you know, ran into Daryl last was we were at this like pretty cool PT conference, and my job was just host an event and then get people in their own comfort zone and then slide a microphone up and just capture that awesome is really my goal. So that's what I do right now. My job is just like, it's 1% of the conversation, just getting them comfortable enough to forget that microphone is there. I want to stay right here. Like, just look it right in my eyes. Don't worry about that crowd. Be comfortable. I want you to be you. And that's what I had to come to grips with. That was my skill. That was my talent. And if I'm able to do that, then maybe I can help people. So as you can tell, I can talk forever.
Perfect. Hey, that was great. Thanks, Jimmy. Give the class the rest of the time to ask questions, but just something I want to get out though of your talk is you're sort of a networking Jedi. So, you know, you were pretty, you know, you've got a good personality and you've got a high confidence level with you, so you're not afraid to go up and speak to somebody. What sort of advice would you give to these guys, which you're going to see a whole bunch, right? They're going to, some will be quite shy, some will be in a very similar position as you. What advice would you give to the shy PT student about to graduate going to a conference possibly within the next 6 months that they could do, you know, working off some of your skills?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's 3, because I was also told never give more than 3 exercises to a patient because they won't do any of them other than 3. So 3, number 1, lead with please. May I borrow your time if you're going to meet someone? The second thing, be honest. If you're honestly nervous while talking to someone, say that, because they're going to read it on your face anyway and they're going to appreciate your honesty. 3, close with thank you. Please, honest, thank you. That's how I meet most of the people I interview or know, is I've led with that. And I guess the 4th piece, I mean, I guess I just lied. I'm just going to give you 4. Give more than you're going to take. You know, always offer, you know, how can I help you first? You know, it doesn't have to be monetary. You don't have to buy someone something. It can be, how can I help you? You know, I loved your book or your article. Can I spend 5 minutes with you, you know, talking about it? Because I'd love to share it with my class or something. That's a give, you know, as much as it is a take. But, you know, show the other person that why you actually want to interact with them.
Perfect. Thanks. So I'm going to find some questions here. Yeah, just while I'm doing that, can you give them an idea of how you came up with PT Pinecast?
The first interaction was in a bar. And I actually didn't name it. I sat down with three classmates and kind of kicked them the idea. And I'll be honest, they thought it was barely okay. And one of them was just kicking around all the words, like kind of what we were doing. So I'd love to say I was the mastermind behind it. And then the logo, if you see the logo, that's my buddy. That's my best friend since 2nd grade. He designed that. I just talk. Other people do all the hard stuff.
He's got questions for Jimmy.
Hi, Jimmy. My name's Dalton. I just had a question about, I know you mentioned that you obviously made a big shift in your career. I mean, for a lot of people, that's like a pretty fearful thing. What were some of the things that you told yourself or that you went through in like making that choice and pushing through that fear and into going a totally different direction?
Yeah. Dalton, thank you for asking that question. My dad's a New York City, he was a New York City firefighter. And I remember like 10 years old being like, at what point are you not scared running into a burning building? Because he was my dad, he was 10 feet tall and bulletproof. And he was like, I'm always scared. So to answer your question, I'm still scared. I mean, I've been in this role for 6 months and like my boss likes me, so my job's like safe. But like I'm still, I can't ask anybody who's like me what I should do for advice because I know I'm weird. Like I know a radio DJ PT is like just, that's absurd. It should not exist. But if you're making a shift, if you have an opportunity to ask someone who is in a similar position or has been in a similar position, then you ask them and then do those three things, you know, lead with please, be honest, and close with thank you. And they, I've found my batting average is 99.9 in terms of getting people to talk to me, not because of anything about me, but it's just because how giving people are in this profession. So if you need to know something, ask. That fear, I guess I would just internalize, you know, is this the direction I really want to go? If it is, go. Just go.
Appreciate it. Love the podcast, by the way, too.
Thank you.
How many of you guys listen to the podcast?
Yeah, just like ballpark. Okay. So that gives me, and I'll be honest, like a lot of times people are like hesitant to be like, I haven't heard of it, which is cool. Like I'm okay with it because we've been heard in 134 different countries almost a million times. And like that just tells me like there's still room to grow. Like we got there, but like I saw like three hands, like cool. Because I mean, I guess that's why I do stuff like this. But I only say like don't tell people to listen to it just because. Like if you honestly got something about out of an episode, and like every episode's going to be like tragically different, like pediatrics, policy, Canada, you know, like everything. So it's going to go back and forth. But like cherry pick and listen to an episode. And if you dig it, then go backwards.
Hey, Jimmy, I'm Will.
I will.
I have a question because you're talking about how you were kind of a radio guy who went into PT. So I'm a PT guy who wants to kind of jump into that game a little bit. Do you have some advice on like how do you have effective interviewing skills in general?
So you want to go specifically into like radio broadcasting or podcasting or like what?
Podcasting.
Yeah, podcasting. So don't, because I don't want the competition because you have an awesome beard. Like,
That doesn't help in podcasts, I don't think.
I would say like, who do you want? Well, no, I didn't go about it that way. I don't shut up, which is why I started. And I know I learned that way. So for me, it was selfish because I got to call like the people I geeked out about and was like, instead of reading a book, which takes so long, I was like, I'll just call the author and then ask them all the questions I want. And then they answered them. So like, I guess, like, why would you want to start? Like, who would you want to talk to?
I talked to like other physiotherapists and healthcare professionals to kind of get some insight into what's going on.
So can you do that without recording it and releasing it? Are you using this as your gateway?
Just to get some information out there for other people, I think.
Okay.
Like, and like you said, it's fun.
It is fun. Okay. So I get this question a lot. Like, I'm going to start a podcast. What do I do? I always say, write down 20 different topics or 20 different people, you know, with those topics attached that you think you could talk about for 20 minutes. If you can get there and you're not like at 13 and you're like, revisit guy number one, but different topic. Like, if you can get there, then do it. Cause like the barrier to entry for a podcast is like so low, so low. I mean, you could do it. Yeah. You could do it with an iPhone. You don't have to edit. Like, I'm a little crazy with it, but like you can start so low and then just dip your toe in. If you like it, keep going.
Cool. Thanks. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. But also like even outside that podcast, just in between questions, like by all means, you're going to have that Dunning-Kruger effect where right now you're like, I don't really know that much, but you do compared to people who are not in your room. Use any means necessary to promote the fact that what you're giving blood, sweat, and tears to learn can help people. So if it's a podcast and you want it to be heard by other physios, great. If you want it to be heard by consumers, even better. But do it. Sing it from the rooftops. You know, if you're confident, do it.
Hey, Jimmy. My name's Alex.
Hi, Alex.
My question is, I asked this question to Greg Cook at one of the conferences. I'm going to ask you the same question.
No pressure.
What is the difference between physio students, if you've noticed, physio students in Canada versus physio students in America that you've experienced, or physio students from across the world? Is there a difference in terms of maybe how we practice? If you've met maybe other Canadian physios or Canadian physio students, or just kind of how they approach the profession, or are there any similarities or differences between the two?
I haven't spent a ton of time, you know, specifically. I think probably the 2 hours I hung with Daryl over a couple cervezas was probably the most exposure to direct. So I don't know. What I do know is that I have interacted with a ton of physio students, and I see a lot of similarities in that they're relentless. What you guys study is not easy. I don't think, you know, this is internal, obviously, because we're all in the same industry. I don't think we get enough credit for the stuff that we do. Here in the U.S., people just think, I mean, I think we should change our name to physios, because people are like, oh, you're like a PT, like personal trainer, cool. Like, how come you don't have giant biceps? And I'm like, whoa, my biceps are decently sized. But I do something different. And I think that's an image problem. But the similarity I see, no matter where I've been, and again, I haven't spent a ton of time north of the border, but relentless. Like, the fact that you went to a conference and asked Gray Cook a question, like, shows me the similarity, which is you're just willing to be like, here I am, answer this, which is cool, which is bold.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a question. So I'm wondering where you see yourself kind of in 10 years, or what's your long-term goal? Because I feel like for a lot of people, I don't know in our class, but owning your own physio clinic or something like that is kind of the gold standard. So what do you, like, where do you see yourself going, or what's your goal in the long term?
What a job interview. I just got super nervous. So that's a good question. So I think I don't know, because I'm just jumping into it. I still dig what I do, but again, I specifically do something so random that, will this still be a thing? I think it will be, because it's communications, which is what we're all doing right now. I'd love to work more with my professional organization, the APTA. I had a conversation with our president, who's from Louisiana, so she's got a cool accent. She's terribly smart and super not shy, and that's my crappy Louisiana accent. That's all you get. She said something super nice to me, which was, I think physio needed a radio DJ, because I just look at things differently, and sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. I just saw glaring holes and decided to fill them. So I think I'll still be doing something. Like, I pitched Emma Stokes. You guys know who Emma Stokes is? She's the president of the World Confederation of Physical Therapy. Did you even know there was a World Confederation of Physical Therapy? Good. I didn't either, until I was on Twitter one day and was like, WCPT. So essentially, it's like all the physio associations, the APTA, the Canadian Physio, they all come together every other year. The higher you go in terms of number of people you can reach, the bigger your effects size can be, right? So I guess in 10 years, I'd love to just be talking with more people. Did I even answer the question? I think I just kept going.
Yeah, she said yes.
Okay, good.
Actually, Jimmy, just a thought while I'm waiting for another hand to go up, but what are your thoughts on, if we actually were to follow up with the previous question and actually interview with you, sort of co-leading it, obviously, interviewing an American student and a Canadian student, and actually doing that as an upcoming podcast?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I'm recording this right now, just so you guys know. I love it. I've seen international students at PT conferences. Like, why aren't we promoting a scholarship to do that? Because we need to bring the similarities and the differences together and see what those are. Skype is great, but man, pressing flesh and actually shaking hands and looking eye to eye, and like, that's so great. You know, it's a lot better.
All right, what's the date for that?
Let's throw a party. Do you guys have like what's your combined, like, we have our CSM, which is just happened in New Orleans. Like, do you guys have one of those?
Yeah, so just so you guys know, so CSM, was there 13,000 this year, Jimmy?
17,000.
17,000. So 17 physios all come in to what is considered their combined sections meeting. So our comparable is 500 people to the CPA, so that's Congress for us.
500.
Even if you want to give them an idea too, Jimmy, from your perspective on what APTA's like private practice section looks like.
Oh, yeah.
From your perspective, as I'm a little bit biased, right? Because I'm the Canadian chair. So, sure.
So the APTA is like our big, hey, everybody be a member. But then it's broken up into, I believe it's 18 different sections, and you get super niche. You know, it's women's health, pediatrics, sports, orthopedics, private practice. I mean, there's 18, like, federal advocacy. And then within those, there are special interest groups. So, like, if you're in the sports section, you could have overhead athlete, you could have running athlete, you could have tactical athlete, army and firefighters and cops. You can get really, really like rabbit holey with these conversations, because for everything that you geek out on, instead of just like one person maybe in your class that also geeks on that, there's like 1,000 of them that come together for this big meeting. We should definitely, let's get a whole plane full of you guys, fly to the next one. The next one's in DC. I would love for that to happen.
Hey, Jimmy, Alex again.
Hey.
Another my question this time is, we're going out to practice in about 6 months. So what would your maybe best piece of advice from what you've learned through your school and just talking to the people in your podcast, what is maybe the best piece of advice that you would give us before we go out.
Is this for a clinical affiliation, or is this for like you're going to practice and you're done with school?
Going to practice, done with school.
Cool. I would say look for a job or where you're going to land based on a person who works there. So like the clinic that you might want to go, like might have a really, really slick website. As a guy who like works on making things look good and sound good, like make sure there's something underneath. Okay, I would chase a person. Like essentially, it's not a clinical anymore. It's not an internship. It's still a learning experience. And if you have like a person that you've bonded with or someone that you know, man, that can make for a really great first year. I always lead with people. Like to answer the other podcast question from before, when I wrote down those 20 things I could talk about for 20 minutes, I didn't talk about things. I wound up talking about to people because I was like, a good conversation with someone is valuable no matter what the topic. So yeah, I'll bump around until I find someone valuable to have that great conversation with. And eventually the topics that people want to hear will pop up. But in terms of choosing my first job, I went with someone I already knew. So I always go to people.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Problem. Thank you for asking that.
Hey, Jimmy. Tom hey. Here. So my question is, how do you vet the information that you put out on your podcast? Or is that something you leave up to your listeners to do?
That's a really, really good question. So I kind of have a network of people now that I know. If someone hits me with a hard email, it's like, I really want to be on your show. I want to do this, this, this. It's like, whoa, pump the brakes here. What I wind up doing is anybody who I want to have on the show or that asks to be on the show, I have a decent network of people that I trust. And I go, do you know this person? Are they legit? But I don't censor the information. But that's a really, really pretty perceptive question for you to ask. So thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
You were talking earlier about the U.S. Army and how you went to that talk about physio in the Army. And I was just wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on that, because I read an article, we had to read it for class, that was a case study from somebody in the Army and how the physios were involved. And I would just like to know a little more about that.
Not to self-promote, but in about a week, there'll be an episode about it because I wound up interviewing another guy like that. That specific talk, it was like 4 years ago. So the specific talk I remember was, so we have a bell curve, right? And even though you're in the military, there are some people who are super fit. And then there are some people who are like, you know, I'm passing the PT test, the physical training test. And there's some people who are like, I'm barely passing that physical training test. And then there's some people who are like, I might not pass. So it's like, from what the guy explained, it's like, just because we wear a uniform and we got sweet haircuts doesn't mean everybody here can crush, you know, a physical test. So what he was saying was like, how do you write a treatment plan for like 1,000 people when you know that they fall somewhere on that bell curve? Because some of them it's going to be way too easy. Some of it's going to be way too hard. So I will retort your question with what I kind of led with a minute ago is, if you want to know who to talk to, like just email me and then I will put you in touch with like the 3 or 4 military PTs that I know and I've interviewed. But I would just go with people, and those people will respond to you within a couple days if they're not super busy. And you could ask a hyper, hyper, hyper specific question to them. And just in case you want to kick me any questions, it's just jimmy@ptpinecast.com.
Working out his orbicularis oris until failure. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
The show is brought to you by Arius Medical Staffing. Quite simply, I could talk on and on about Arius, and I do on the show, because they've supported us from the start. But what Arius does is, they find you a job wherever you want to go. They've got placements, jobs for PTs in all 50 states. That's how many there are, right? 50? Right. 50 states in all settings. So where do you want to go? Check out where their jobs are. Talk to a recruiter. And again, want to make sure you know, this doesn't cost you the PT anything, all right? You just get to go do the thing you want to do, treat patients where you want to do it, and get paid for it. AURUSmedical.com. That is where you can find them. Talk to a recruiter there. Benefits go with it. Go here, try this. Don't like the area? Go somewhere else. Short and long-term assignments. You can travel from position to position or take some time off in between. Listen, you put a lot of work into becoming a physical therapist. Do it on your terms now. Travel the country getting paid to be a PT. AURUSmedical.com.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now.
You good for 3 more questions?
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Hi, Jimmy. My name's Steven. Going back to CSM and APTA's divisions, what do you think is the reason for the membership difference between Canada and America? Is it a matter of numbers? Is there a fundamental difference in our engagement?
I don't know. Daryl, again, it's your professional association is about, or the meeting, your CSM is about a 500 to 1,000 or something. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So what's your percent? What do you know? What your Canadian Physio Association? Do you know what the how many people are in that?
Yeah, actually, there's only 14,000.
So I don't know. Like Canada's a pretty huge country. I honestly, that's a killer question. You know, we struggled for a while there. About 30% of our profession is a member. We just crossed the barrier of holding it above 100,000, like for the first time, and it's like everybody's pushing that hard. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd ask you guys: are you guys members? Are you members as students?
Yeah, but we get a free membership.
Yeah. So do you guys have Amazon Prime, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So I gave a talk with our APTA president, and I was like, okay, if I doubled the cost of your Canadian Physio membership dues, if I doubled those 2 years out, would you still be a member? And I asked that of Americans, and they were like, no. They were honest. And keep in mind, I was standing next to the APTA president. She was standing shoulder to shoulder with me. I was like, if I doubled the cost of Amazon Prime, would you keep it or not? And people were like, you'd pry it out of my cold, dead hands. Like, I'm never giving up my Amazon Prime. So it's like, why? It's like value. So I don't know much about your professional association, but I know that, like, I've hammered the drum, and I know our association is now like, what do I lead with? Like, right? I said before, give before you take. Amazon Prime membership, you charge me $99, but I value it at like $300 because it solves my problem whenever I need it. So that's the thing we have to say is like, why would belonging to my club be beneficial? Like, you know, I guess belonging is cool and getting to say that is nice, but like, it's got to solve my problem on an everyday level, because when I graduate or like at the end of the month when I got to write a check for rent, like I'm going to debate that cost every time, but I don't even think about Amazon Prime. That's in the I have to have it. I guess the question is like, why don't you belong? You really got to ask that question. Like asking people who do belong, why? I don't know if you get that. You get some information, but asking people who don't, what would I have to do to change this to make you want in? I think you'd get that. I don't know. It's an interesting question.
Thank you.
Yeah, no,
this is Dalton again. I got another question for you.
All right, Dalton's coming back.
So as like new grads, myself personally, kind of get a little bit of that imposter syndrome of not really feeling like you know enough to provide value. And I was just wondering if you've ever experienced that, especially like speaking on such a large stage, and some of the ways that you get through that.
Yes. To all of that. I did specifically while I was still in school and while I was still, you know, treating patients as a student. I know that my friends and classmates are still dealing with that 2.5-3 years out. It's reps and being comfortable. So that's why, you know, when the question was asked before, like, how would you find that first clinic? Man, having somebody in the room next to you who you like can be completely honest with and just like imagine in between patients, I had such a great boss. I she owned the clinic. I walked into a private room and I was like, I just sat there for 40 minutes. I had no idea what I was doing. And she's like, great. And she handed me another chart. She goes, you got to go figure this much out for the next one, because you also have 8 more behind that. But like, I could be honest instead of having to be like on that stage again, like lead with please. Be honest and say thank you. If you honestly don't know, honestly ask, because that could be the last moment you don't know, which is great. You know, I still have imposter syndrome. Like I said before, like, am I a PT? I struggle with that all the time, doing what I do. I think the fact that you're asking that and you're being honest about it, that's a good sign that says you want to actually learn. You don't want to just go through the motions and look like you know what you're doing, which people can do.
Hi, Jimmy. My name's Evan.
Hey, Evan.
So my question is kind of around how you found your niche market and kind of moved in this direction that you're heading now. You said that you identified some gaps with the way things are going. And I'm just wondering, based on the conversations you've had with the number of people you have, are there any gaps that you've kind of identified that we as new grads might look at moving into or trying to fill as we come into practice now?
That's a good question. In terms of who to people to treat, or...
Yeah, just in general, whether it's treatment populations, whether it's new business ideas, anything in general.
So the meeting that actually Daryl and I hung out at last was a meeting that it kind of addresses that in terms of like business ideas. It was like 150 people, so really small. We did a Shark Tank episode at this Graham Sessions meeting, that super small one. And people were throwing concierge PT. Can you live where I live in the Upper West Side of Manhattan, work from home, see 6 patients a day, one-on-one for an hour without having to have a support staff and make money? And the answer was yes, because the girl giving the conversation was doing it. One of them was, you know, why don't you open up a CrossFit box yourself as a physio and then put yourself in it instead of having to walk into someone else's CrossFit box? You know, why not build a business around you? In terms of patient populations, there's a girl who just treats like violinists. When you get to that top 1% or 0.1%, that person wants you to know exactly what they do and their demand and their activity is. If there's a group of people who do something movement related, you can, because of technology, identify them, find them, and treat them. If you're good at that, you can make a business out of that. So if you have a passion for it, I'd say that's got to be the thing. You have a passion for it. If you got a passion for it, it can happen. No problem.
This was great. Thanks for making yourself available for today, too. I think it's interesting to sort of give them an idea of how you could actually go into a hyper niche right off the bat. Right? So a couple years out of school, and this is where you're at. So that's fantastic. Congratulations on your successes so far.
Thank you.
And we'll chat after today through email if you want, just to figure out what we can make this interview happen with Canadian and PT Canadian and US PT students.
Love to.
All right, my friend. Thanks so much, and I owe you a couple beers for sure. All right, take care.
See you guys.
The PT Pintcast is a product of PT Pintcast LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pintcast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast.
The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.